This is episode number 15 with David Lyon.
I specialize in a very specific type of security. Subconscious security.
You're talking about dreams.
We create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream. And they fill it with their secrets. It's called Inception.
Hello everyone and welcome to Cerebral Mind Control. My name is Hadlin. I am a hypnotist, magician, mentalist, and speaker. Every week I will bring to you a driven, focused artist or entrepreneur and pick their brains on how they have learned to control their minds for success. Thank you so much for tuning in. Here we go.
Welcome back to the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast. On this episode, we speak with David Lyon from Montreal. He calls himself the Fresh Prince of Spirituality. He's also the founder of Lyonism. We talk about how he got into teaching, why being genuine is very important, and we find the real magic. We talk about how intuition can help you and how to know what your intuition is telling you. We talk about not being afraid to be yourself and let your inner self, your true self, shine forward. And we also delve into one of his most recent projects called The Life Center. You guys definitely want to find out who David Lyon is if you don't already know who David Lyon is. He is an amazing entertainer and teacher. We met because of our mutual interest in magic, mentalism, and hypnosis. And he's killing the game over in Montreal, guys, so be sure to block off the next hour and listen to this podcast and learn, just as I did, from David Lyon. Now, this episode, it was recorded via Skype, so there's going to be a slight delay, and you'll notice it. You'll hear my voice come through his computer, but the content is excellent. You're going to definitely enjoy this episode. But before we begin, this episode has been brought to you by Hadlin Entertainment, Canada's one-stop shop for premium corporate quality entertainment services. Now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you David Lyon.
How's it going, David Lyon?
It's doing good, bro. I can't complain. It's good to talk to you, man. It's really been a long time. You got your hair all grown out and thing.
I'm working on a different look, if you want to call it that. But yeah,
cool,
so,
man.
What's new, man? It's been a long time since we've been able to connect, and you've been up to a lot I've seen on Facebook. Fill me in. What's the best part about the new David Lyon?
Oh, man. I guess it'd be difficult to wrap up what's been happening in 7 years since I saw you, but I guess the summary is that I went from... When I first met you in 2008, that's when I was still chasing the whole celebrity dream. You know, I was really wanting to break into the celebrity world and be known as a celebrity and all that stuff, and have my own TV special, be like David Blaine, all that kind of thing. And what ended up happening is I got to a certain point that the more I was achieving, you know, I ended up, you know, I did the things with Drake, I did stuff with other celebrities, the more I was achieving and what I thought I wanted, the more empty I felt. And so it got to this point where I started to ask myself, what is it that I'm not seeing? If I'm accomplishing everything that I say I want and it's not fulfilling me, there must be something I'm not seeing. So that's kind of where my journey really started, because that's when I had to really look at myself and what I wanted, who I truly was, if I was doing things for the right reasons. And so all to say, I went on this very spiritual journey of finding my true worth, wanting to know more about what my purpose is and that kind of thing. And now I'm at a place where I'm using magic, you know, all the things I learned with magic and hypnosis and mentalism, I'm using those things as a tool to captivate people, to captivate people's attention. When I'm on stage or doing seminars, but I'm really using my voice just to spread the message of the importance of being yourself, and, you know, sharing my story about how I was someone who illusioned myself into, you know, thinking I was someone who I needed to be, but that how that brought me further from who I truly was. And so, yeah, really what I'm doing now is I'm really about helping people find themselves, reconnect with themselves, understand that it's okay to just be who you are, and teach them about confidence and courage and being genuine. And that's one nutshell version of my story. Yeah.
That's awesome. Man, you're up to some great things, and I really appreciate you taking some time to talk with me today, because, yeah, we definitely need to catch up, and I really love the new mindset that you have.
Oh, of course. And, thank you.
Do you think that you have found the true you?
I'll say yes, and I'll say no. I mean, if I said that I'm I feel like myself, I definitely feel much more in touch with myself and I know who I'm not, but I think I'm constantly going to be discovering myself more and more. So I feel like I'm in touch with myself, but in the process of growing myself now. So I know that I'm not this macho, impressive, cocky guy that I used to portray myself as. I know that the real me is very like dorky and sensitive and just fun loving and caring and wants to help people. So in that sense, I know who I am and I know who I'm not. But you know, so now it's just more and more discovery of my true desires and what I truly want to do. That's where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing that. So you feel like there's still a lot more to go to really find out the true you. Now, how would you help someone else to find that in them?
Often what I do is I make a distinction between who they think they are and who they truly are, because that's really what helped me. Back in 2012, I met someone who ended up becoming now he's a good friend, but he became my mentor. And the gem that he really gave me is that he created that distinction. You know, he's the one who told me, he's like, oh, you think you're this macho, impressive guy who gets girls and na 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 na, but really the true you is soft and sensitive and goofy. And when he made that distinction, whereas, you know, to me before it was all one thing. Like, I was all of that. That's who I was. But when you create a distinction, it gives your mind a way of separating your ego, if you want to use that word, from your true self. So the way I help people with it is really just kind of by pointing it out, you know, pointing out what I see. It's like, you know, everybody at heart is a sensitive person. Everyone's a caring person. You know, it's really just shedding light onto it.
Do you know what motivates you?
Oh man, what motivates me? I guess, how would I answer that question? What motivates me, I guess, is helping people with the things that I needed help with. That's my main motivator. You know, because I was someone who lost myself and had trouble finding myself and was constantly wanting to know my worth and value and wanting to be confident and wanting to know where I fit in and wanting to know my purpose and just wanting to know how to connect with people, that's what motivates me, because now that I kind of overcame a lot of those issues, I know there's so many people who have the same issues I had, and so, you know, and so I have a lot of compassion for it. So that to me is my purpose, is to help those who are like me, and that's what everything I do is geared towards. You know, whether it be, you know, in my magic performances, when I'm on stage, I'm still speaking about being yourself. When I'm, you know, making new products, it's still about confidence. Everything's about being yourself and confident in all my messages. And so, yeah, that's what motivates me, is helping those who had the issues I had.
I like that. That's really good, man. I applaud you for that, to be able to go forward and, you know, take your own wisdom to help other people. That's great.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Thank you, man. You know, what I realized is that, and I see how this applies to everybody, but our greatest issues in life ends up being our greatest purpose. Meaning, if you're someone who's constantly lost, if you overcome that, you'll be someone who could help people who are lost, kind of thing. You know, if you're someone who had trouble with vulnerability and speaking up, by overcoming that, you could help people who had those issues. So it's like our greatest issues is literally our greatest purpose. And that's, you know, where I find even there's an authentic secret of success in a sense, because it comes from a genuine place when you want to help people for those things, and success just comes as a result.
Right. Yeah. So you've been doing a lot of seminars and teachings essentially. And how did you get into that?
It's a crazy story if you want to hear the story. I mean, so I think you know as well as I do, in the world of magicians and hypnotists, there's a high level of both skepticism and cynicism towards, we'll say, spiritual things, you know, psychics, energy work, all, you know, there's, it's kind of, you know what I mean? And the reason, and you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, of course, but the reason I got into magic was because there was a part of me that believed there's such thing as real magic. And, you know, so when I became an illusionist, that's when I saw, I'm like, okay, you know, it's all tricks, you know. And then I became a mentalist and I saw, okay, it's also a lot of illusion. But that didn't stop me from believing that there must be real magic somewhere. You know, whereas I think a lot of other mentalists and whatnot are like, oh, because we can mimic what a psychic or an intuitive does, that means what they're doing is trickery as well. So, but for me, it was like the, you know, there's a lot of frauds out there, but there must be an authentic somewhere. There must be an authentic truth somewhere. So the way I got into teaching was actually because I met this guy named Alex, who I met in 2012. He was my first encounter with a channeler, intuitive, psychic, whatever you want to call it. And what I appreciated about him, it was that he wasn't out there trying to prove anything. He was just trying to help me. And I saw that he had a certain way of using his intuition and feeling my energy and that kind of thing that really gave me practical ways of understanding my insecurities, understanding how to help myself, and so on and so forth. So basically, I was inspired by him because I wanted to help people in the same ways. Because I saw what he was doing to me was the closest thing I saw to real magic. And so from there, I also wanted to teach energy, teach about energy, and I wanted to teach about intuition, but I wanted to teach it in a way that was very practical and that wasn't fluffy kind of thing. It wasn't like you must balance your chakras and connect with your higher self, and you know what I mean. I wanted my grandparents to be able to understand it kind of thing. So that's what got me into teaching was that I saw that there was a practicality in spirituality that wasn't being fully, appreciated. And so I wanted to be the one to do that. I kind of self-named myself the Fresh Prince of Spirituality because I like Will Smith. But so like urbanized spirituality.
Awesome.
Yeah, so yeah,
that's cool, man.
That's how I got into teaching. And I did it to help people with their passion and purpose by showing them how they can use their intuition to figure things out for them, you know, to have their intuition show them this is what they're meant to be focusing on, this is what their strengths are, as opposed to sitting down and trying to figure it out by asking, that there's those question forms like, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What do you see? You know, it's all mental ways of doing it, whereas there's actual intuitive ways of doing this stuff through meditation and a whole bunch of other ways, yeah.
Could you take us through an example
of a way to discover something through intuition?
Right. Yeah.
An example. I'm trying to think of something. You would have to go to a class, honestly, because if. Let me find a simple way to put it, because it really helps to have someone who knows their shit, in a sense, to guide you through the meditative process, because a lot of what you're going to get in meditation is is visions and imagery. But it takes the guide of the class will be able to interpret the visions in a way that's practical. So I want to give you something practical here, though. You know what I mean? So it's like, for example, if there was one meditation that we used to do where we would close our eyes and then we would imagine our home, basically a place that we like to call home. And then we would go to the room in the house that most represents us. And so you go through that experience, you walk to that room, and once you get to the room, what you have the person do is you have them observe all the things in the room that best represent who they are. And so they might see, you know, different decorations and whatnot. And, in my case, I remember I saw a picture of Michael Jackson, and I saw a deck of cards. And there was a few other things, but then what we do is we have them focus their attention on just two of those things. Two of those things that they feel most represent who they are. And at this point, it's really just a symbol that they're looking at. So once they get those things, those end up being the your unconscious mind's way of showing you symbols of what best represents who you are. From there, it's a matter of using your intuition to interpret what those symbols mean. So this is why I said it might be difficult for a person to do alone if they don't have the experience of working intuitively and they're normally very analytical, but because for example for me Michael Jackson, he represented inspiring magic. That's what he represented to me. For me, he was just that person who goes on stage and, you know, and just gives his feeling, and because of his feeling, people are fainting. I mean, you've never seen anyone do what Michael Jackson does. So he always represented magic to me and inspiration. So, and the deck of cards, it just represented captivation to me. So for me, in that meditation, what I learned about myself was that my true essence is someone who loves to captivate and inspire through magic, through performance kind of thing, through whatever case may be. But this is something that, you know, people can use to become more clear on their passions if they don't know what their passions are. You know, I was already somewhat clear on my passions, but it gives you a way of looking at your passions as an essence, in a sense of what I mean by that. A lot of people will think, like, for example, my passions aren't magic, teaching, hypnosis, mentalism. Those are my interests. My passions are doing the impossible, connecting with people, providing clarity. But I could do those things through magic, through teaching, through hypnosis. I'm not limited to one thing. You know what I mean? So
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really where I like to focus on, like, the spirit of what makes us, so you don't have to put yourself in a box of, oh, I'm a magician, I have to just be a magician and think of magician things. Like this, you can go into whatever direction you want to go into and still respect your passion.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Man, you're always so wise. Whenever I speak with you, I always learn so much, and this is great.
Thanks, man. I hope it's not too much of a mindful. I'm trying to be aware of the viewers as well, and keep it as, I guess, English and grounded as possible. So if you feel like, you know, if it's too outstretched, you know, let me know and I'll refine things.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. No, right now I think it's going pretty good. I'm pretty sure everyone will be able to understand everything.
Just to clarify for people who might be listening, my definition of intuition is simply your ability to know. It's your ability to know what you need to know when you need to know it. That's it. It's you know, whereas, you know, a lot of times people think intuition and they think more psychic stuff, more like, you know, read your mind or whatever. For me, it's really just your intuitive sense of knowing. Like when you get that flash of a genius idea that you didn't think of, it's like you're just sitting there and all of a sudden you get a flash, like, oh, that's genius. That's your intuition for me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, but what I learned is that it doesn't need to be spontaneous and random. You know, it doesn't have to be this random thing that comes in every once in a while. There is a way to control that intuitive muscle so that you can always receive intuitive information as opposed to trying to figure things out with your mind. So that's just
how do you do that? How do you gain access to that? How do you exercise that?
Well, the short, I mean, it's really, it has to become a lifestyle in a sense, because the way I look at it is our true natural state is intuitive, meaning when you're a child, you're all feeling and you're all intuitive. That, you know, you're not analyzing things, you're not trying to figure things out. There's no sense of mind yet, right? There's no analytical mind. You're purely an intuitive being who does things through feeling. You know, so feeling and intuition kind of go hand in hand. Now, to become more intuitive, it has a lot to do with releasing aspects of your mind, meaning, how could I put this in a more practical way? All the parts of you that think are usually out of a type of fear, or, you know, so you think because you have, you know, you have to figure things out because you have you're worried, or because you have doubt, or because you're stressed. Those are all fear-based programs running in your mind. So it's a matter of learning how to remove those programs. And I can't give like a general how-to, because it's unique for every person, depending on their issue, kind of thing. But in essence, though, it's really about becoming, going back to your true authentic state, your true natural state, the way you were as a child, that was all feeling, that was very sensitive, and that did things through feeling. You know, it's kind of like, here, I'll give a very basic example. This is a very quick way that everyone could use their intuition. So you're also challenging me to come up with things here. You know when, you know when you're trying to do something, and every time you're trying to do something, you keep getting resistance. It's just there's a lot of struggle, there's a lot of resistance, and it's just, you know, it's draining you, and it's just not flowing naturally. It's not effortless. When there's that, you know what I'm talking about? When there's that kind of resistance, what I've learned is that's your intuition's way of saying wrong direction. Stop trying to push through that direction. It's supposed to be natural, it's supposed to be effortless. But when you do things, on the other hand, and it just flows, and it's just like you don't notice the passage of time, and you're enjoying it and you're loving it, that's your intuition's way of saying right direction. You know, so it's like there's a certain energy that you could pay attention to, but we've been conditioned to use our minds to, you know, to believe that if it's not hard, it's not worth it. And when there's resistance, you just gotta plow through. But, you know, that's not using our intuitions, that's using our minds. And, you know, often that's why you'll end up with more stress and more stress and more stress. So that's one simple way to use intuition. You know, there's other ways, such as we have two emotional states. There's only two emotional states. Ones that make you feel lighter and ones that make you feel heavier, right? When you're feeling passion, joy, creativity, love, you're feeling lighter. When you're feeling stress, frustration, anger, irritation, you're feeling heavier. Whenever you're feeling heavier, it's your, no matter how many ways you can justify your situation, that's your intuition's way of saying that you're wrong. No matter how much you think, and I actually have a great story to go with this one, but no matter how much you might think that you're justified in your behavior, your intuition's trying to tell you you're wrong, that's why you're feeling heavy. You know what I mean? So there's all these little very practical things, and I'll give, can I give a story that goes with this one?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Because I want to make it very clear. So I remember one time when I was dating my ex-girlfriend, we were coming towards the end of our relationship, and we were at that point where we were fighting a lot, basically. And there was, basically, she had lent me her keys, her house keys, so I could do a session at her house, because the client I had was allergic to cats, and I have cats. So I was going to do the session at her house. So I had her keys, and she went to work. And then I asked her, when she's done work, just to let me know when she's done, so that I can, you know, she could come get her keys, because I had plans to do afterwards, right? So she, whatever, you know, I did my client, and after she finished work, she never called me to say, you know, I was done. I was calling her phone and whatever, and eventually, you know, she would pick up. She'd be like, oh yeah, I'm done work, I'm at my mom's. And I'm like, you're being inconsiderate. I'm like, just come and, you know, just let me know so I could bring you the keys or whatever. And this went on, to make a long story short, she repeatedly was being inconsiderate, and, you know, whereas at the end of the day, she ended up at a friend's house right near my house and still didn't call me to let me know if she was nearby so I could just give her the keys. So, you know, if when I explain the story in detail, a lot of people can see, like, yeah, she was being inconsiderate. She should have just let you know she was at her friend's house and given you the keys. But me feeling like she's inconsiderate, you know what I mean? But me feeling like she's inconsiderate gave me a very heavy feeling. I felt heavy in my anger towards her, which let me know intuitively that on some level, I'm wrong. There's something I'm not seeing, is what my intuition's telling me. Now, and as much as my mind didn't want to acknowledge that, it didn't want to humble myself and be like, there's nothing I'm wrong in, she's the one being inconsiderate. When I stopped and I acknowledged the feeling, I said, okay, this feeling means I'm wrong in some way, what am I not seeing? That's when I intuitively got the information that, yes, she may have been inconsiderate in this situation, but I've been inconsiderate to myself by repeatedly staying in this relationship knowing that she's an inconsiderate person. So I've been doing this to myself, kind of thing. So that's when it kind of humbled me and it allowed me to take responsibility, right? So this is just one example of how intuition can serve us if you let it, kind of thing. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. No, thank you for sharing that. That's really powerful. Very, very powerful. Very similar to something I've heard recently where everything that happens in your life is your fault.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
100%.
You could always prepare for it. You could always, like a meteor could come through the roof of your house, and it's your fault if you allow that to happen, because you could have prepared for it, right? You know it. It's obviously an extreme example.
Yeah.
I think it's very similar to what you're saying there.
Yeah, definitely an exaggerated form, but yeah.
Yeah. Could you share with us something small that you've done that has helped to shape who you are today?
Something small that I've done. That's a good question. Something small that I've done that helped shape who I am today. It's a tough question to answer, but the first thing that comes to mind is really let myself be more genuine and sincere, as opposed to feeling like I have to be very composed. And I'll like, you know, for example, what example could I give of this? I guess I can't find a specific example, but I just used to be someone who, you know, if something would irritate me, or if I was hurt, even if my feelings got hurt, or I was uncomfortable with something, I used to always hold a certain kind of composure. And, you know, because I'd be like, nope, gotta be balanced, and, you know, just express myself in a very composed and mature way. But that wasn't my authentic feeling underneath. That doesn't mean that I have to attack the people with what I'm feeling, but I just wasn't being genuine, you know? So I really started to let go of composure and, you know, acting like I'm this super balanced person, which, you know, like, which I think is what gives spirituality a bad rep also, is like, you know, you see these yogis who are like, I'm super balanced, I have no issues, you know? For me, it was learning to be much more genuine and to just express like, hey, you know, that hurt my feelings, or hi, you know, like I know I agreed to what we said, but I realized that I was being a little bit passive out of insecurity, and I want to express myself now and say that I wasn't cool with that. You know, so I think really just allowing myself to be very genuine and being very, very vulnerable is what created a huge change in my world. Because it's like I started expressing my truth without fear. You know, I had, which to me is what courage is. It's the strength to live your truth, you know? And that's why they say, you know, and the truth shall set you free, kind of thing. It's, you know, expressing your truth, it does. It takes a weight off your shoulders and it releases you. So that's really, I mean, even in business, I'm the same way. In business, I don't try and act, you know, like I'm a business person. I'm really, you know, like I understand business. I understand as much as I do understand, but I don't try and act like I know more than I do, just so that I could have the image of keeping up with them. I'm very, very honest, and you know, if they talk, I'm like, sorry, man, I'm like, yo, could you dumb that down? I'm like, I really didn't grasp that, or could you explain it to me in a different way? I'm not very good with these things. I'm really, really honest, and I think that it creates a more human connection with whoever you work with, and it, as opposed to business or whatever case may be.
Right.
Yeah.
So, speaking of business, we're getting right into the Christmas season here. You must be pretty busy out there.
Oh, yeah.
How are you feeling with this season coming up?
Oh, man, I'm excited. I'm in the midst of putting together my first product, whereas I'm creating something that I just call The Box. And it's, it's called The Box. And basically all these years, since I started doing Lionism, and you know, for the viewers that don't know, you know, Lionism is basically just my style of magic and mentalism and hypnosis. You can check it out on my YouTube.
And I'll link everything in the show notes as well, so
yeah,
you'll
cool.
be able to find everything about you.
Yeah, cool. So when I started doing Lionism, it got really successful online, and the main question I would be asked was, how can I learn Lionism? I want to learn what you do, teach me your tricks, that sort of thing. But for many years, I never wanted to share it because I was selfish and I was insecure. I say that I was insecure because I felt like those secrets made me special. Though, you know, even with other magicians, I happened to learn certain things that a lot of magicians, for whatever reason, don't know, like turning a 5 into a 100, not every magician knows, kind of thing. So the certain secrets that I was known for, I didn't want to share because I'm like, no, this is what makes me special. If I give this away, I'm not special anymore. And I just got to this point in my life where I recognized that my selfishness was out of insecurity, and I wanted to balance that. And then I realized, I'm like, who am I to not share the opportunities that were shared with me? These opportunities helped me tremendously in my life. They allowed me, the reason I learned magic is because I wanted to connect with people. It wasn't because I wanted to become a magician per se. It wasn't because I wanted to be a master magician and know every trick. I just wanted ways of connecting with people, and magic allowed me that bridge. So I got that opportunity, and it allowed me ways of connecting people, getting opportunities and all this stuff. And I realized that I was selfishly holding on to this gift that I can share with people, because I know there's so many other people like me who want to connect with people the same way I did. And so I'm creating this box, which is going to be out for Christmas, whereas I'm including in it my three best tricks, not like the ones that I no longer use, you know, it's literally my three absolute best tricks, my opener, my filler, and my closer, and I'm giving it to people so that they can learn it, and they can learn not only magic, but just a way of using, because I just see the magic as like the icing on the cake, like in the sense that it'll give them a way to connect with people and get attention, but from there, then they could finally express who they are. They could finally be like, hey, I'm this person, you could see me now. You know, and I really emphasize in the DVD of the box that it's not the tricks isn't your value. It's not because now you could turn a 5 into a 100 that people will like you. That just gave you a bridge into people. It's really about now that you've had that connection, let yourself be who you are. If you're a nerdy person, be a nerdy person. You know, don't try and be cool and macho like I did, because that's where I went wrong. You know, I'm hoping to save people many years of mistakes by expressing those points. So it is a box where they're going to learn magic, but it's really all about learning confidence and courage, and how to connect with people in an authentic, genuine way without devaluing who you are, without being someone who you think you need to be. And that's what's coming out this Christmas.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. So, is your target market magicians or?
No, it's actually
at your shows, like.
It's actually non-magicians, because a lot of the stuff in the box, none of it is something that I created. They're all stuff that I just made my own and I innovated. It's really for people who were like me, meaning socially awkward teenagers, or even adults who just want a way of connecting with people, who are looking for a way of building their confidence, a way of meeting people, and just that sort of thing. That's my market.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and okay, if that market really falls into magicians, great, you know, but it's really for those people, yeah.
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 I like it, man. That's awesome. And how did you think of doing something like this? Like, what gave you the inspiration to do this?
The inspiration really came from desiring to be more selfless. It came from, and this is where it comes down to, like, where I said, like, I'm still exploring becoming more of myself and, you know, mastering myself in a sense, where once I got to the point where I think there was a day where I realized that I used to be really focused on money. I used to be very focused on, I want money, you know, I'll help people as long as I can make money. And, you know, but then I realized that by saying that, I was putting money above helping people, because I'm saying I'll help people as long as I make money, kind of thing. But then I changed, you understand? So money was my priority, and I realized that's an off balance. To me, like, I'm all about balance and alignment and all those things. So I'm like, that's not my true nature. I'm like, I want money so that I can help more people. I'll, you know, that became my new way of being, where it's like, I want to make a lot of money so I can help. Exactly. So in that desire to become more selfless and to put, you know, helping first and, you know, finding ways in which I can give more, that's just kind of where it just came to me. You know, I just happened to get another one of my fan mail messages of someone saying, hey, how can I learn lionism? Please teach me or whatever. And then the rest was kind of obvious for me. I'm like, you know what? It's time. It's been 10 years that I, well, 13 years that I've been doing this. It's time that I shift, and I've realized I'm done with being an entertainer. I'm done with being, that's not to say I won't entertain anymore, but I'm done with just being an entertainer in the sense of just showing up and being that guy who does a trick and says ta-da and walks away. I want to give something more meaningful in everything that I do. And so that's where I started turning down bookings and all kinds of things, unless it was something that really meant something. And so now I'm changing lionism from being just entertainment of look how cool I am to a place where people will be able to learn magic without necessarily needing to become a magician. So it's just, you know what I mean? So all of lionism is going to become a teaching hub where people could learn very just simple, practical, but powerful tricks. But the emphasis is that they're very simple and practical. And it's not like you have to, you know, it's not like sleight of hand. I still can't even do that stuff. You know what I mean? So it's really just, I want to make lionism a teaching hub for people who want to just know a few things, but don't necessarily want to embark on the path of becoming a magician. They just want to know a bit of magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
and real magic too.
And exactly. Yeah. And that's what there'll be the intuition portion, because the lionism will be the teaching of illusion and that sort of thing, but I'm also starting a new movement called Living Magic. And Living Magic is all about helping people connect to the magic of themselves and everyday life, which is going to be more about understanding intuition and energy and lots of inspirational posts and ways of understanding balance and alignment and connecting with yourself in very, very practical ways that, like I said, your grandmother can understand. Yeah.
That's awesome. Man, David, you're doing such a great job, and I really like the new path that you've created for yourself and for lionism and for your fans, for everybody that you connect with. This is amazing stuff here, and I hope that everyone that listens to this can really see the power behind everything that you're creating and that they connect with you and learn from. Oh man, this is amazing stuff.
Thank you, man.
Keep it up, man. Definitely.
I appreciate it, bro. Thank you.
what do you believe the purpose of life is?
Ooh, the purpose of life. I've answered this a few times before, but I always try and answer it a little differently each time.
Okay.
I want to say that the purpose of life is to find what makes you happy and to commit to it. That's what I really feel like in a very simple way, is to find what makes you happy and to live for it, literally, you know. And that means, you know, that doesn't just mean like a job that makes you happy, but understanding the parts of yourself that you're not happy with, you know, places where you're imbalanced within yourself. So it requires lots of inner work and becoming more of yourself so that you can be happy with yourself. You know, inner happiness has to come first. And yeah, that's really what it is for me. It's doing whatever it takes to feel like yourself, to be happy, and to feel fulfilled. And that to me is the whole purpose of life, you know, however you do it.
Awesome. Yeah. Answer. I love it.
I would have it no other way.
Do you have any sort of routines that you do on a daily basis to get you in a high performance zone?
Not really, to be honest. I'm not one to use my mind to like, you know, or certain rituals to amp me into a certain state. I'm very naturally in that state all the time, kind of thing. You know, it's like I'm a very naturally inspired and passionate person, but I think that comes from constantly working on myself. Whereas if ever I'm not feeling naturally inspired or I'm not feeling like myself or passionate, I don't feel like, you know, giving yourself a discipline to get into that state is necessarily the best answer. And the reason I say that is because, you know, it's kind of like a patchwork for something that's going on the inside. If I'm not feeling inspired, I want to know why. I want to know, is it because I have, you know, am I feeling insecure about something? Am I angry about something? Am I bitter about something? I want to work on those things first, and by unlocking that, by releasing it, I'll go back to my natural state, because my natural, and I think everyone's natural state, is, you know, passion, joy, creativity, excitement, love. That's our natural state. So for me, it's about always being, as long as I can remain in my natural state, I don't need a routine or a regimen. My life just kind of unfolds in a very naturally inspired and passionate way. So in that sense, to answer your question, that means my everyday routine is inner work, if necessary. If I don't need the inner work, then I don't do it, you know. But if, you know, but if I have something that's making me feel less than myself, then right away, it doesn't matter what time of day, I either try and help myself or I reach out. I reach out to a mentor, I reach out to a friend, someone who I know can give me the help that I need, kind of thing. And that actually gives me a good opportunity to another thing that we're starting. It's going to be launched around New Year's or so. Me and my friends, we put together something called the Life Center. And for now, it's just going to be online, whereas LIFE stands for Lessons in Finding Enlightenment. And it's really, the whole intention behind the Life Center is to provide a community for people who want help growing themselves and bettering themselves, but just don't know where to go. You know, because I was blessed enough to find in my life, every one of my friends around me now, every single person is a mentor of some sort, is a people helper of some sort, if you want to use that word. And we're all very much respecting of people's feelings and cater to people's feelings and not just their mind, not just, you know, overriding your feelings with your mind, but actually taking care of the feelings so the feelings could feel better, kind of thing. So because I found this community of people, I realized this is what helped me grow so fast. is to have people like me who think like me, and so I get to chill with them and have fun with them, but also helps me grow in a fun way. So we created the Life Center so that people who want to, in a sense, commit to the same lifestyle can meet a community like us, and they could have access to the resources and the people that I work with to help themselves and just to have fun while doing it, to feel like they're a part of a family, and you know what I mean? To have that support system.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
That's my regimen.
That is great, man. And you've always been someone that I've looked up to, and that you always have, I want to say crazy, but that's not the right word, something inspiring that you're doing, you know?
Thank you, man. It means a lot.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. I have a couple more questions here, and then unfortunately, we'll have to end this episode. However, man, we have to definitely do a follow-up or maybe a part two.
Anytime, man.
I think maybe a part two would be better.
Anytime, man.
But, yeah. Let's see. If you could leave behind a book, a movie, TV show, or an album that has nothing to do with your work.
Okay.
Let's just say your work, everything you've done is gone.
Yeah.
Just for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And you can only leave behind one of those pieces of media. And if someone were to watch, read, or listen to it, they would know who David Lyon is.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and I think the reason I say that is because I really connect with Will Smith, especially in that show, you know, and just in the show he's a goof. He likes to play around and he's funny, and that's, you know, it's a very feel good show, which also has some good life lessons in the show, which represents a lot of who I am. But also, if you look at Will Smith as an actor, the way he went about his work wasn't serious. He was dedicated. And it's a very fine line between the two. Meaning, when he worked, people who work very seriously, it's kind of heavy. It's kind of like, it's not fun. They take the fun out of work, a lot of people. You know, when you're committed to your dream, it becomes a very serious thing. And that's not at all who I am. Whereas Will Smith, he's a hard worker, but he does it with dedication, and he does it with fun. He has a lot of fun doing what he does. He does it completely because he enjoys it, because it fulfills his passion, and it's all about the enjoyment factor. So Will Smith as an actor, as a worker, and as a character really represents a lot of who I am. So Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, hands down, especially season two. That's my favorite.
Season two, nice.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, thank you very much for that.
For sure.
Another hard one here for you, possibly. I don't know. You're really good with the hard questions, actually.
Better than the easy ones, it seems.
All right. If you had to leave behind, this is very similar but different.
Yeah.
But, and actually, you know what? For you, it might actually end up being the same. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the opportunity to leave behind a piece of media so book, TV show, movie, album, whatever, and it teaches your child, your future child, a very important lesson or lessons, and they have to apply these lessons, what would you leave behind for them? Or what would you make them learn?
Just to give a different answer, because I mean, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air could apply to this as well, but if it's about,
right.
Yeah, but if it's really about lessons and like, in a sense, inner wisdom, I would say the book, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. I don't know if you ever read that book, but it's really just a book about the power of following your dreams and what you truly feel like doing, regardless of how your circumstances may look around you, and taking the chance to let life figure things out for you, as opposed to you thinking that you got to figure everything out yourself. And it's which also coincidentally happens to be Will Smith's favorite book.
Very cool. Yeah, it is on my list of books to read, and
oh, bro,
closer and closer to it.
Bro, so you have to. And it's so small, the book. It's not even like 100 pages. You can finish it in 2 days, 1 day. It's so small, and
oh, yeah?
Yeah, man, it's one of those gems. It's one of those, like, from the beginning, you're just captivated, and you relate to the characters, so you feel like you're a part of the story, and you want to know the rest of it. And I'm not much of a book reader at all. I'm not one of those people who feels like I have to read all the time to develop my knowledge and all that stuff. I'm very picky with what I read, and that's one of those books that just gives you that feel.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Very good. You know what? Later today, I'll go pick it up.
Yes.
So maybe I'll just go on Amazon right now and buy it. But
do it.
Yeah. No, you know what? This is the final push that I need to make it jump up in my list of books here. So
yeah, yeah. All right. You won't regret it, man. You definitely won't regret it. I promise you that. If you don't like the book, I'll pay for it.
Yeah. All right.
That's our deal. It's on camera.
So we kind of touched on this a bit before. I was going to ask you what the biggest difference between you now and you 5 years ago was, but I think we pretty much covered that, or you have, right?
Yeah.
So I'd like to now ask you what you feel the difference between you now and you 5 years in the future.
Ooh. I honestly don't think there'll be much difference as far as who I am as a person, because that's where I feel like I'm very in touch with myself now. But the main difference is I still want to now go to the celebrity world, but now it's for different reasons. You know, before it was for recognition.
Right.
Now it's really to have a platform so that I can help as many people as possible. You know, so 5 years, you know what I mean? So now 5 years from now, I just see myself bigger in that sense. But I also want to redefine the word celebrity. I don't like that celebrities are these high up there people that no one has any reach to and that you can't connect with. I want to be someone that you feel you can connect to, and I'm talking to the people who are supporting me and stuff like that. So someone who redefines what it means to be celebrity, and someone who's helping more people in an even bigger way than I am now. Yeah.
All right. Man, I see some big things in your future.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see what more is to come from you and how you're going to make your words reality. It's great.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it, man.
If you could, is there anything else that you'd like to share with all of our listeners here? And viewers?
Anything else I'd like to share? I would just say, you know,
yeah,
feel free to reach out and connect with me. And, you know, you can find me on Facebook if you just type in David Lyon, Lyon like the animal. Please check out my website and YouTube, which is, you know, www.lyonism.tv. And anything I'd like to share in general is just, it sounds very cliche, but really it's not to be afraid to be yourself. And I hope that I, in some way, just through my every interaction, serve as an example of that. Whereas, you know, I don't know, I could rant on about this for a long time, but just don't be afraid about yeah, being yourself. I don't want to go on another 10-minute rant, but also not to be afraid to reach out to me, or feel like I don't know, that there's got to be a huge gap between us. You know, I mean, I will. There are sometimes that, you know, I get messages from people that are a little out there that I don't reply to, I once walked through a wall. Can you please teach me how to control my energy so I can do this again? You know, those kind of, I don't give my attention to, just because it's not the type of person I want to connect with. But if you're genuine with me, I would love to be genuinely connected with you as well. That's pretty much it.
And I will put all of your social media links and websites and contact information into the show notes for this episode.
Beautiful, man.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, David Lyon.
Yes.
For connecting with me and sharing so much knowledge, man.
Oh, we got to do it again, bro. We got to do it again. This got to be the first of many. Definitely.
Yes, most definitely. This is just part one.
There you go. Cool, man.
Well, there you have it, guys. That was episode number 15 of the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast. I know you enjoyed it because I definitely enjoyed it. And David Lyon, as you can already tell, he's an amazing guy. He's doing great things over in Montreal and can't wait to make my way over there in next year's tour. Definitely going to connect with him and we'll record episode 2, the second part to this episode, on location in Montreal. It's going to be a great time. All right, guys, but I would just like to ask you to please like it, share it, and subscribe if you haven't already. And be connected with me. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat if you want to see more into my inner life here. And yeah, just search up Hadlen. And my website and the show notes will be available at www.hadlen.com/cmc-15, hadlen.com. There you go, guys. Thank you so much. And remember, go out there every single day and work as hard as you can towards your dreams.
Come on, G, they wait with 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 G, they wait. Come on, G, they wait with 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 G. Come on, G, kick it.
Until you find a way to release and let go and end up in moksha.